Ahoy, mateys! Welcome to the GameBuie.org video game podcast, your twice-monthly port of call for gaming news and views that maybe aren't on your radar, but most definitely should be. I'm your host, Captain Spike, and with me, as always, is First Mate Slagkick.
Yarr!
Today is June 13th, 2016, and this is episode 112, E3 2016, Day 1. Welcome once again, our lovely and beautiful listeners, to another episode of the GameBuie.org video game podcast.
GameBuie.org video game podcast.
And today we are going to talk about the E3 press events that happened today.
So that like it's been so long since we've recorded an episode.
So that is going to be Microsoft, the PC Gaming Conference, Ubisoft.
Or Ubisoft, if you please.
And Sony. So let's get things rolling. Slagkick, if you want to get us started on this first thing, it was actually a sort of a big deal that Microsoft opened their show with this announcement.
Yeah, so we got, we knew it was coming, there were leaks and such, but we got the show started off with the Xbox One Slim. So, they kept stressing that all of the experiences would be available on all the Xboxes, so, yeah, we got the confirmation of that. It is very tiny compared to the current Xbone.
It's something like 40% smaller. And when you look at the direct comparison, it really is. It's quite smaller. It's fairly dramatic.
Yeah, the Xbox One is a big box.
Yeah, the new one, it's smaller. It has like a white and black color scheme.
A very sleek looking box.
Most importantly, though, it's actually a bit more of a powerful machine than the original Xbox One.
Yeah, it sounds like what this box is really positioned to be, in my opinion, and we'll touch on this a little later as well with the you-know-what, this seems like for those people who are looking for, because, the Xbox One was originally positioned as, like, your box top set or whatever, so this really looks like it's positioned to be a good, 4K set. So, for people who are very cinemaphiles or whatever.
Yeah, well, we know that this will output 4K video. It will have all of the 4K Blu-ray spec requirements set. So, yeah. The HDR and everything. So it definitely does look like sort of more of the audio video file version of the Xbox One.
Yeah, it does not come with a native port for the Kinect.
Indeed, yeah. You'll have to get a USB dongle, which Microsoft at this time says will be available free for people who are updating and will want to use their Kinect on their Xbox One Slim.
I assume you'll have to have some sort of proof of purchase. Otherwise, people will just be like, I want a dongle. There's lots of dongle fetishists out there.
So
I don't think that's actually a thing.
So, yeah, one thing that's really interesting is that Microsoft did, after the event, also note, that it is a beefier machine, and it should run some games, actually run the games better. So while, they are presently saying, that all Xbox One games will work across all Xbox One platforms, we definitely will be in a situation sort of like, the Apple iPhone type situation where, the iPhone 6, 6S, 5, 5S, and even the 4S can run this game. But if you're running it on the 4S, it's going to be, frame skippy and laggy and stuff. Mm-hmm. That's definitely the console future we're heading toward with this new business model.
Yeah, and once we talk about their big reveal, I have a lot of thoughts about this.
Okay.
And what it could mean, at least for the Xbox platform, or, I guess, is that what you would call it? The platform?
I believe, yeah. Xbox, yeah. Platform.
So let's talk about these games, because this we didn't want to call it the Xbox conference, because this really was an Xbox One and Windows 10 conference. It really, truly was.
So something really cool about what Microsoft is doing is basically for all of their first party and Microsoft Game Studios titles, if you buy the game on Xbox One or on your Windows 10 machine, PC, you will get the other version, whichever one that may be, for free, so that you can play across, you can save your games across. Multiplayer games will work cross-compatible, line-wide for this initiative.
Right.
So,
It's called the Play Anywhere, I think, or
I believe you're correct.
Something like that.
So I think that is a really great initiative. I think it's really cool. And the first game they announced that will be taking advantage of this initiative is
better,
Gears of
War way to
4.
Kick that off with Gears of War 4,
So, you know, Gears of War 4 looks pretty cool. Definitely sort of taking a little bit of a different tack from the earlier Gears of War games. I noted to Slykick while we were watching it that, like, there was a gun that was shooting, like, razor frisbees. There was, like, a really cool little interactive environmental sequence where they're using a catapult to launch, like, giant rocks in the air, and then you had to shoot the rocks out of the air so that, like, some wind currents would make the rock bits fly into your enemies. It was actually really cool, but it was more of like an almost an arcadey experience from these other Gears of War games. I don't believe you have any experience with the Gears of War series. What did you think of Gears of War 4?
I don't really have a lot of experience with the Gears of War series. It looks really interesting. I kind of think it really made me appreciate what Gears of War brought to, you know, I mean, it was kind of a new genre unto itself. I mean, I guess maybe
You know, while we were watching it, and what tipped me off was, you know, you were talking about, oh man, they got that cover system from Mass Effect. And I was like, I'd Minuten bitte. Like, you know, that it was a big deal that, you know, Gears of War did such pioneering work as far as cover shooters go.
Right.
Almost to the detriment of shooters, because so many of them for so long were just focused on the cover. But Gears of War, enormously impactful.
Yeah, so given the fact that I actually prefer the shootery bits of Mass Effect over the, you know,
RPG-like bits of Mass Effect 1.
Well, I mean, I guess we could talk about that when we eventually do Mass Effect Buoy. You know, it made me definitely want to give this a try. And the thing that's really cool is that, like, you know, for shooters, I prefer to play on PC. And so it would be really cool, like, if I'm like, oh, I'm playing on Windows 10, and you hop on your Xbox One, and, you know, we can play together.
Indeed. All right, well, you know, they also showed a Battlefield 1 trailer.
Right.
With, you know, some light gameplay.
I mean, I don't really feel that, like, I mean, unless you have anything to say about it, I didn't really have any new thoughts because, you know, we just saw a lot of Battlefield 1 yesterday.
All right, so we also got the reveal of Forza Horizon 3.
Yeah.
And that looked fantastic. You know, I'm a big fan of the Forza Horizon games. Looked very pretty, as you would expect from Forza. It's going to have more cars than any other Forza Horizon game. It's going to be taking place in Australia. It is going to have, you know, like some drop-in multiplayer stuff going on in a really cool way. Definitely something I'm very excited for. What about you, Slaggy?
Yeah, I think it looked really fun. I liked the fact that you could play on Xbox or Windows 10, you know, and I think it looks a lot of fun. I think the Forza Horizon games appeal to me a little more than just the Forza Motorsports games. It seems a little more, I don't know if whimsical is the right word, but it's like, oh, I'm going off-roading in the Outback, you know, and I feel like there was really a focus on, like, you know, kind of like the environment and, like, you know, kind of how you're traversing through it rather than, oh, I'm just going to race around on this super realistically simulated car. I mean, I guess I'm just kind of talking about Forza Horizon versus, you know,
pretty
regular
much
Forza, but yeah, I mean, I like that there's different ways to play. I like that, you know, there seemed like to be a lot of different vehicles, like, and so that was cool.
We got the gameplay reveal of ReCore as well. You know, this was a big deal. Inafune-san working with Western Studios for Microsoft. You got the gameplay reveal, third-person action.
Kind
of really
like a girl
cool,
and a
lot
robot
of,
friends.
A lot of personality. I was really impressed. What did you think, Slaggy?
Yeah, you know, I really looked like a lot of fun and a lot of personality, like you said. And I was just kind of like, oh, maybe that's where all of his focus was. Maybe that's why Mighty No. 9 has been kind of on the back burner.
And, of course, we know factually that that's not true. We don't want to create any negative rumors. You know, the
I don't
Mighty
want to start
No. 9,
any blasphemous rumors.
The Mighty No. 9 game was basically content complete like a year ago.
I know.
Up by bugs and stuff. We all know this. We're not.
I'm just very
to start
worried
a
about it.
Conspiracy. So, well, this is a weird time to be worried about it. It's going to release in like a week now.
Will it or will it not?
So we also got a gameplay demonstration of Final Fantasy 15. We got to see someone who didn't play the game super well.
So it'll be the Slagkick skill level.
All right. But, you know, still is cool. We got to see sort of how magic can impact environments and, you know, how it can impact monsters and stuff. So that was
neat. Yeah, it was kind of like almost a jump onto the Hydra's back moment. It was Titan, right?
It was Titan, yeah.
And so, you know, you had to end up, like, you know, shattering his arm or whatever. It was pretty cool.
Excellent. Yeah, you know, it was cool. The LOL gameplay issue aside, overall, still super hyped for the game, obviously.
Indeed. Now, this next one is one that you were excited for.
Yeah,
but I guess maybe not quite what you were hoping for from it.
Well, so we did. We got the character reveal in Killer Instinct of General Ram. That is, of course, a guest character from the earlier iterations of Gears of War. Really interesting, you know, Killer Instinct is sort of turning into almost like a cameo mascot fighter for Microsoft. It's really interesting, you know, they have one of the Battletoads in it.
That's a good point.
Yeah, you know, we have General Ram now, we have the Arbiter from Halo, so definitely being positioned very interestingly.
Nexus is going to be a straight-up Forza car.
Right? Sega's like, we had that idea first. Either way, I was really hoping for a Killer Instinct Season 4 announcement, but I'm still happy with what we got, and hopefully Killer Instinct gets new content for a long time to come.
Still some Killer Instinct love, you know, in 2016. That's good.
So we also got an announcement of a new game by the maker of Limbo. This was Inside. Saiki, what did you think of Inside?
You know, I feel like we didn't get a super in-depth look at it, but, they're very all about, using lighting and, light and dark and stuff, so...
Yeah,
you know, it looks, from when I saw it, it looked like just, you know, like very moody, very like atmospheric. But, you know, there's just so much going on in the Microsoft conference.
Indeed. And, you know, the guys over at Kotaku were actually saying, you know, they've actually played through the entire game. They are huge fans. The game's launching on Xbox One on June 29th, Windows and Steam on July 7th. It's apparently a game that you can play through in one evening, but the less you know going in, the more impacting it will be.
Oh, that's good.
It's apparently like a very emotionally impacting game, so definitely something to look forward to.
Yeah, it looks more ambitious than Limbo. Not saying anything bad about Limbo. You know, Limbo is very beautiful, very...
but it's played very straight.
Yeah, but, I feel like Limbo was more of like an interactive art piece in a way. This seems like it's got a little more depth or scope to it.
We also had the announcement of We Happy Few. And this is a game that was giving a lot of people some pretty strong BioShock vibes in terms of the setting. Sort of a sci-fi, you know...
British 1964.
Sci-fi, like, sort of... The Day After Tomorrow, sort of, not that awful science fiction movie, but sort of the idea that this is like near future, but things have gone very wrong. Basically, you know, it seems the entire society is on heavily medicated and hallucinating that the world around them is much nicer than it really is. Some people stop taking their drugs,
joy
as they call it, and has disastrous consequences for the people who are suddenly outed as thinking on their own. Downers, as they were called, I believe. So, definitely one I'm very interested in on basically every level.
Yeah, very disturbing in that BioShock sort of way.
We also got the announcement of Gwent, the Witcher card game.
Yeah.
This is a standalone application to play Gwent from Witcher 3. They are expanding the rules, adding new cards, and rebalancing some cards that already existed that were either under or overpowered. It will have an entire single-player campaign, and it will be releasing in 2017 with a beta available here in 2016. It looks really cool to me. What about you, Slaggy?
Yeah, I mean, I don't have any experience with Witcher 3 yet, so I mean, I can't really speak to the game, but I'm just loving that there's such a market for these card games these days, because card games are awesome, and I just hope that they end up having some sort of VR experience where you can be with Geralt in the hot tub and he's playing Gwent with you. Or forget the Gwent, but
you're so thirsty.
No, but I look forward to it, and it might, be a good way to get into the Witcher franchise.
Yeah, okay, that's true. We also got a really cool cinematic trailer of Tekken 7 featuring Akuma from, the Street Fighter cameo character.
Yeah.
Fighting against Heihachi. So,
almost like some like story cutscene, quick time events mixed in.
That were appearing to occur mid-battle. So yeah, it was definitely very weird. Did not necessarily indicate how exactly that's going to work, but definitely cool stuff. Happy Tekken 7 is coming, and it'll be coming to the PlayStation or Xbox One.
It will.
We also got the reveal of Dead Rising 4.
Frank's back.
Frank West is indeed back. This is going to be taking place around the holiday season. It will be taking place in multiple locales around the city, including another trip to the mall.
Oh, yes.
I am super hyped for Dead Rising 4.
Oh, yeah. It's a real return to its roots from what it looks like.
And that's actually going to be releasing this holiday season, so please look forward to it.
Let the sleigh ride begin.
We also got a really cool live gameplay demo of Scalebound.
Yeah, multiplayer look.
Yep, it was four players. It sort of played almost like a mixture of like Dark Souls, Monster Hunter, and like Devil May Cry. I was super here for it. Definitely something I'm feeling. What about you, Saigi?
I think that's a pretty accurate description. I'm looking forward to it, too.
Awesome. We got the gameplay reveal of Rare's Sea of Thieves. This appears to be sort of an open world-ish multiplayer game, similar to how, like, Destiny or The Division handle multiplayer, except this time you're just a group of pirates trying to sail the Sea of Thieves.
Yeah, they showed, like, three crews, and like some of them started out, they're like, yar, we be drinking, and then, like, they went out and sailed and, like, had a ship battle and one of the ships sank, so... Like, I'm actually really kind of hype about it, and you bet your sweet bippy we're going to make an SS game buoy.
Absolutely.
But please don't come in, like, bomb it.
We also got the reveal of State of Decay 2. State of Decay 2, it looked good, but for me, at this point now, all of the zombie games are getting to be sort of too much noise, not enough signal.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Something like Dead Rising, it's easy for me to still be excited about because it has that trademark sense of humor.
Exactly.
Has sort of the emergent gameplay of, you know, all of the experimentation with weapons and putting on crazy clothes. I didn't see a whole lot of that kind of stuff in State of Decay 2. It looked like a very competent game. I'm sure it will be a lot of fun. It just didn't wow me.
Yeah, like you said, you know, I feel like zombie games have to, you know, there's so many of them now that there has to be something. Like you said, Dead Rising has always had kind of that evil, dead sort of, you know, Frank West kind of has that whole Ash Williams appeal. This is just zombies. Cool.
Let's see. The last game we saw was Halo Wars 2.
That's cool. There was like a Planet of the Apes realness, kind of.
Yeah. A new alien faction, as far as I could tell. And I mean, admittedly, me and Halo lore, not like super buddy-buddy, but I didn't recognize that as like an existent race of aliens, like the big giant
gorilla
guys.
Yeah, they said like a new alien race. I didn't catch the name because I'm not super into the lore either, but.
Either way, gameplay looked tight. I actually thought the first Halo Wars game, especially for like a console-based RTS, I thought it was really a fantastic game. I'm really excited for Halo Wars 2. We did get word that it got pushed back to a 2017 release.
Yeah.
But it will also have an open beta this year. So please look forward to it.
And drum roll.
Is that what you think drums sound like?
No, I just can't make that sound.
All right. Well, Microsoft also announced Project Scorpio, which is going to be a holiday 2017 release. And it is effectively the next Xbox.
Pretty much.
Something that's really interesting is that they're positioning it as a successor to the Xbox One, but also a continuation of the Xbox One.
Right, they're saying it's part of the Xbox One family or platform.
So at least for now, you know, all Xbox One games that are announced will work on all three Xbox One consoles, the Core, the Slim, and Scorpio. But the really crazy thing is that Scorpio is a beefy as crap console, sort of the big ticket line at Microsoft's event was they were explicitly calling it the most powerful console ever. And
yeah,
based
what did they say about the pixels?
Based on the limited amount of information, hard information that they gave us, that certainly sounds true. You know, there's been a lot of hubbub about the surprise announcement from Sony a couple weeks ago that the PlayStation Neo was a real thing, but they weren't planning on showing it at E3 this year. All of the early leaks and early hints and rumors and gossip about the Neo had it pegged as powerful, but not as powerful as what Project Scorpio was announced today. Project Scorpio, of course, we did have some information, some leaks about it for the last few weeks. There's a lot of hubbub on the internet that, you know, Sony might have gotten a little bit scared off by Microsoft saying, we're about to launch the most powerful console ever.
Mm-hmm.
So what did you think of Project Scorpio, Sagi? I know you have a lot of thoughts.
I mean, on one hand, I'm like,
can I one addendum?
Yeah.
The reason why this came up earlier is that Microsoft explicitly stated that this is them changing the approach to console generations. The implication was certainly that this is going to be the new normal, is sort of phasing consoles out over time and introducing new ones gradually with access to the former hardware's library, which to me is a home run. But anyway, you were saying, Slaggy.
Right. Like a lot of people, you know, I saw, like, we were watching the IGN stream and they were like, oh, well, this one's not going to support that. I mean, I really feel like, you know, it is. It's going to become more like just one platform that keeps kind of evolving at this point. I mean, the innards, so to speak, are very, you know, I mean, like, obviously PS4 is beefier than Xbox One right now, but I mean, they're all just glorified PCs at this point, let's be real. So, I mean, the fact that, you know, they maybe you're trying to focus on a more unified platform, you're seeing that, you know, there's the Xbox One Windows 10 initiative. I think it almost in some strange way makes it a little bit more palatable because it's like, oh, I could upgrade now or I'll upgrade in a few years when I really feel like I need that jump in performance. And I'm just really hoping that game developers will be really, you know, that they will try to still make their games run as efficiently as they can on Xbox One. I don't want, like, choppy frame rate messes, you know, to be the norm. So I really just hope that, you know, they kind of look at the way that PC gaming has typically, you know, handled scaling and are able to deliver solid game experiences that, you know, obviously the Scorpio is going to be like the beefiest and prettiest, but, you know, so that I could still enjoy the same game as you are on my regular Xbox One.
Yeah. And
otherwise, I might just have to do a trade-in. I mean, that's the thing.
And that, to me, is what's really cool about it is, you know, someone like me who gaming is like one of the top priorities in my life, like I'm going to jump on that day one. But for people who aren't, I'll still be able to game with them. I won't be losing them on my friends list. I won't be migrating over to, oh, my Xbox One or my Xbox Live list, friends list now is full of people playing games. I can't play with them.
Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, even though I think this is the way that hardware is going to be going for all of the hardware developers, I think in particular the fact that Microsoft really went for this Xbox OS or whatever, this basically means running a version of Windows 10, right? So,
yeah.
I mean, the fact that they're basically using Windows architecture really means that, you know, it's basically, there's not going to be a brand new, like, you know, architecture every generation. It's just going to be keep iterating on it. And so, it's really interesting.
As these consoles have gone more and more to be basically just PCs in a box, it hasn't really made sense for them to have these super proprietary layers of software or what have you,
right?
Operating systems that make it impossible to carry things over. And that's something that, weirdly enough, I think Nintendo got right, although obviously they're going to have to abandon their decades-old architecture at some point. They've specifically talked about how, you know, they've stuck with that architecture for as long as they have because it does enable that sort of backwards compatibility with ease.
Right.
And I definitely hope that's a priority for Microsoft at this point, because if it is, I could see this initiative working really well for them.
And I'll tell you, it definitely encourages me to go digital for more games, especially if it, like, you're starting to think of games as a service, really.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, the writing's been on the wall for a lot of years that that's how it's going to go.
Steam.
But I'm definitely happy with the way that it has evolved. I think we're getting to a point now where there are consumer benefits to going digital, whereas 3 or 4 years ago, I don't think those incentives existed for console players.
Yeah.
But now we're getting free copies of games. Tons of these games that were announced today at the various press events, it was announced that you'll get, like, the previous gen version of the game
yeah,
as a free download.
We had that with
stuff like South Dishonored Park Shattered Butthole. Dishonored yesterday had that. Yeah, so that's like a whole thing, and it's one that I personally am a big fan of.
So, Captain
anyways,
Spike,
we're running up on our time limit here, so need to sum up the show and give it a grade. Slaggy, what about you?
Give
it
a grade and
sum it up.
You know, I would say I think I would give it a solid B plus. You know, I think there was maybe a little bit too much dev talk, you know, but it wasn't, you know, overload. So, you know, I thought a really solid line of games. And I think really the big thing for me is the Play Anywhere initiative or whatever they're calling that. The whole Xbox One and the Windows 10 thing. Like I said, it makes the idea of these various models of Xbox One coming be a lot more palatable and make me feel like, oh, I don't have to upgrade right now, because it's thinking of it more as like an iPhone upgrade.
Yeah, and I think that sort of the phone model is what we should be looking at when we think about this. And, you know, I know some people who are unhappy with sort of the phone business model, and that's fine too, but, you know, I personally am not. I think that this is a good thing, and I think we kind of benefit from this for all the reasons we've said here. As for the Microsoft press event, I'm going to give it a B+, and a big part of that for me is that the broadcast opened with a message of support for the LGBT community.
Yes, it did.
In light of the tragedy in Orlando this past weekend. That obviously counted a lot for me. And literally every person who came on stage, except for the Microsoft and a small handful of guests. Most of the guests.
I think like the...
Slag, you need to reevaluate that sentence structure, because I was saying most everyone from Microsoft and most guests.
Yeah, I was going to say like...
were wearing rainbow pins, rainbow ribbons. They weren't all uniform, but they were all rainbows. They were all showing support. And to me, it was such a little thing that made such a big difference. We talked a little bit about that yesterday, and it definitely held through to today.
Indeed. Well said.
What about you? Oh, you already did yours.
I did do mine.
Let's move to the PC gaming.
Event.
And we're going to go through this a little bit faster.
Yeah.
I got to be honest, the PC gaming event did not hold my attention. I actually started to doze off at one point.
Me too.
So let's see. We got a look at Warhammer 40,000, Dawn of War 3. Looks really good.
It does.
I like the Warhammer aesthetic, so obviously, you know, I'm interested in that to some degree.
They had a cosplayer out in a Space Marine outfit who was like, do I have to stand here anymore? Looked very uncomfortable. Right. Kind of like shuffling around.
Klee Games unveiled Oxygen Not Included, which is a very adorable colony simulation game. I was definitely into that. It's one that I'll definitely be keeping an eye out for. What about you, Slaggy?
Yeah, I was almost getting like Fallout Shelter vibes almost.
Oh yeah, I can get that.
It's kind of like, oh, these people are like, you know, are at your whim, basically.
Ah. We also got word that the Ark Survival Evolved will continue to be getting expanded and growing and getting new features and stuff.
Yeah, just kind of, it literally is evolving.
Right? I like Ark. It's a really cool and somewhat weird experience, and I'm happy to see that it's going to continue to grow.
Yeah, very interesting to watch that one grow.
Excellent. We also got the announcement of Giant Cop coming to VR in 2016. Giant Cop looked ridiculous. You are basically a giant cop in the world of Giant Cop, and you're sort of interacting with all of these really tiny people's day-to-day lives, trying to like solve crime for them and stuff.
Yeah.
It looked really tongue-in-cheek and really funny. It had a great sense of humor. I'm really interested in it.
Yeah, I'm interested to see more. It looked like, because they showed, like, someone was saying, like, this used to be a great place to be a nude beach, and then someone else was saying, like, oh, well, I'm glad that they're putting their hoo-has away. So it sounds like I'm going to be really interested to see if you have, like, kind of control about the way that your city is run. Like, do you want to allow certain things, or, you know, want to run it this way? So, but it's just, like, really silly and weird.
Yeah, we also got a appearance by Cliffy B, sort of laying down the development roadmap for Lawbreakers. Lawbreakers, of course, is an upcoming first-person shooter. I guess we're calling them hero shooters is the genre name for that. It looks cool to me.
Kind of like a grittier Overwatch.
Indeed. And in fact, you know, they actually said that Overwatch to Lawbreakers is similar to Street Fighter to Mortal Kombat.
Yeah.
With sort of different approaches to the same core idea. And, you know, I was into that, and as a fan of Mortal Kombat and Street Fighter, I don't see why I can't be into Overwatch and Lawbreakers.
Right, Well said.
So, well, in fact, one of the things about Lawbreakers, and I have to say this, is that Cliffy B. was very cognizant of the fact, and I loved hearing this, that one of the big things in a shooter like that is actually the very, like, mechanics of movement.
Yeah.
And how you interact with your environment. I feel like that's not talked about enough, but to me, it's the difference between a game like Destiny and a game like Battleborn. Nothing wrong with Battleborn, per se, but just playing Destiny is so much fun.
Well,
just
I mean,
for little things like the way that jumping works and sliding right, works. I mean, and you have all Destiny, these different movement options.
Right. Destiny is one of the rare examples where I feel like I can play a first-person shooter on a console. So, I mean, you know, with Cliffy B., you know, love him or hate him.
He gets game design. We also got word of Serious Sam VR coming this summer Access. That looked like a lot of fun. We also got our first reveal of Don't Nod Vampyr.
Yeah, like very early, like pre-alpha footage, but very interesting looking.
Yeah, you know, it's going to be more combat-based rather than the pure cinema storytelling of, not Remember Me, their other game, Life is Strange.
Yes.
But, you know, it's still Remember Me had combat, and I know they can pull it off. So hopefully they do for Vampyr, because I'm always interested in, like, reluctant vampire stories.
Right? That's kind of your shtick.
Right? Let's see. We also got word from AMD about their newest Polaris-based graphics cards, the new Zen CPU, and a really cool VR backpack that is literally an entire computer in, like, mounted into a backpack.
Yeah.
So that you can, you know, have your goggles on, connected to your backpack, and experience VR completely unhindered.
Yeah, and I always love when, well, I guess I say always, this is only the second year we've had this, but
Lisa Sue?
When Lisa Sue came out, like she did last year, she's just like...
Boss.
Yeah, she's like, she knows her stuff, and she lives and breathes, you know, graphics and CPUs and stuff.
Indeed. We also got a new gameplay demonstration of Mountain Blade 2 Bannerlord. I'm not a big Mountain Blade fan, just because I have never gotten into it. Are you a big Mountain Blade fan, Slaggy?
Not really. It kind of was a little bit yawn-worthy. I mean, I guess for the right, you know, for the people who are into that sort of game, like, that's great. It didn't really do a lot for me.
That's fair. That's absolutely fair. We also got word that Killing Floor Incursion is a game that is coming to the Oculus VR based on Killing Floor. As well as that, Killing Floor 2 got a new update effective today. So, you know, that's really exciting. We got the first gameplay trailer for the upcoming Obsidian joint, Tyranny. Looked really cool to me. What did you think, Saiki?
Yeah, it looked really neat. Very interesting.
We also got word that super hot indie darling that it is will be entering the VR scene via the Oculus Rift.
Yeah, that looks cool.
The Observer is a really cool cyberpunk horror game that actually involves like actively hacking the fears of people around you. It looked twisted. I was into it. Like, it looked very creepy, which I love. But again, this is one of those situations where it was like, I don't know anything about this game. You sold me on the elevator pitch, but I need more.
Yeah.
We got word that Arma 3's Apex DLC will be out on July 11th. We also got word of new game Drop Zone, which is going to be sort of a MOBA and an RTS hybrid. And if you're thinking, like, how can that be? MOBA's already an RTS hybrid. They're basically trying to make an entire RTS game from beginning to end that only goes 15 to 20 minutes. So that to me is a really interesting goal. I don't know how they're going to achieve it, but I want to see what the end result is.
Yeah.
We also got word of Bulkhead's Turing Test. And this to me was one of the more interesting games that we saw at the PC gaming event. You know, it's sort of a adventure-y, puzzle-y type game.
Like a portal without the portals.
Exactly. You know, that was how
which,
I described it.
Which sounds
it
really
earlier.
Dull, but it's not.
Yeah, indeed. So that very similar kind of puzzle solving to what you saw in Portal.
Yeah,
I'm here
for
it. The
devs were talking about how, you know, they've showed it to people and it's just really intuitive, apparently, the way that you're able to pick it up and kind of interact with the environment.
We also got a new trailer for Overland. This is the sort of modern day Oregon Trail type game.
Modern day warrior. Today is Tom Sawyer.
You know, sort of events take place on like a little tactical grid. It has a really cute art style. There were actually 1,000 beta keys put up today for sale on the developer's Itch.io. Unfortunately, you know, I wanted to play Overland, but I'm not going to pay to get into a beta. So
yeah.
Hopefully we get some more news on that soon from people who are in it and love it.
Yeah, but it looks cute.
We also got the announcement of Dual Universe, which looks to be sort of a sci-fi take on like these builder adventure type games, like Minecraft and the
but
like.
not with the pixel aesthetic, of course.
Well, yeah, not with the pixel aesthetic. Although, again, you know, I would say that the pixel aesthetic is the least important part of Minecraft. It just lowers the barrier for entry for people to realize how much cool stuff there is in Minecraft.
Mm.
But we're getting off topic. The developers of Insurgency announced Day of Infamy, a new World War II first-person shooter.
Oh, I think that's when I started dozing off.
There was also a new trailer for the game Mirage. Mages of Mistralia was also discussed, a game which encourages players to create their own magic spells. And we got word that Warframe is going to be adding a sports mode that I have seen referenced repeatedly as being described as Quidditch-esque. The
Ooh.
Mode itself is called Lunaro, and, you know, honestly, Warframe is a pretty cool game, free to play, not hard to,
yeah.
to try out. The idea of, like, this sports game is actually pretty cool to me.
Indeed.
So what did you think overall, PC gaming, Slaggy?
Am I giving my letter grade now?
Give your letter grade and your summary.
I say B-. It didn't grab me as much as last year's did.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting you say that because for me it's a solid C. You know, they did show a lot of stuff, but a lot of it was just first-person shooter sameness. I felt like there wasn't like a real like variety of the games being shown. We didn't get to see any of like Planet Coaster or anything.
Right, which was
like,
weird because
there are tons of PC games. There's always
Frontier was
so
one
many
of the
PC games.
Frontier is one of the sponsors.
There are always so many PC games coming, obviously, given the nature of the PC as a platform. And that we had so many samey games for me was very frustrating.
Yeah,
I mean, honest.
I'm really glad that a show like this exists as part of E3 now. I really like that they take the unique sort of nighttime, late night talk show format almost, and they have like the couches sitting out, but yeah, just a little bit too samey, like you said, and a little bit too much time on some of these shooters.
Yeah, you know, I also want to say during that event there was no mention of the Orlando tragedy.
Yeah.
A couple of people who came on to present were wearing rainbow ribbons, pins, badges, or what have you. But I was a little disappointed at that tone deafness, especially in the specific event that had so many first-person shooters. Like, first-person shooters
yeah.
were such a strong presence for them. So it was a little bit of a struggle for me.
Yeah.
And I bring that up to contrast and compare to Ubisoft, who...
Or Ubisoft. According to Aisha Taylor, you can say it either way.
Oh my god, I'm so tired of that meme. I do have to say, though, huge props to Ubi for the fact that, you know, Aisha Taylor had a really heartfelt message at the beginning about the tragedy, about, you know, that you know, it's really important, and even acknowledging that some of these games are going to be kind of tone deaf to what's going on right now, and stepping in front of that and acknowledging the tone deafness to me actually was worth a lot, because I recognize mm-hmm. there are corporate interests in play that you can't just say, oh, we can't show Ghost Recon Wildlands this week because of the worst mass shooting incident in America of the last 100 years. You can't do that. So
yeah.
to acknowledge it at least and say, yeah, we're really sorry, we're here for you, we support you and your community, to me there's still a great deal of value
mm-hmm.
in that. So huge props to Ubi for that, honestly.
Yeah.
With that having been said, we opened to probably the gayest thing I've ever seen at an E3 conference. There was a really wild group dance in promo of Just Dance 2017.
Yeah, set to Queen's Don't Stop Me Now.
Right.
Which, I mean, it was very queer. So, I mean, I don't know. I don't think that was, you know, as a response, but it just happened to, you know, really resonate. There was a very very odd giraffe that a lot of people compared to Katy Perry's Left Shark, just in sort of its odd appeal. Very, like, I was like, what is going on? And I honestly was, like, worried that it would almost set a very strange tone for the Ubi event, but I actually was okay with it.
Excellent, excellent.
And it's very much in spirit with what the Just Dance games are. They're
right?
Silly, they're very, very campy. I mean, so...
Also notable was that Just Dance was formally announced for the NX.
Nintendo NX.
So definitely something interesting. Amazon already has it up for pre-order on the NX.
I saw a lot of haters out there being like, that's the only Ubisoft game that will appear on Nintendo NX.
You know, I'm going to step up to bat for Ubi. While they might have made some poor choices in their promo for Wii U games, they did give it a real effort between Legends, originally being developed primarily for the Wii U.
Zombie U,
which remained exclusive for a long time and was a hell of a game.
Mm-hmm. I mean, honestly, I mean, it was maybe more Nintendo's fault.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, unfortunately. We also got a much too long live gameplay demonstration of Ghost Recon Wildlands. I don't have a lot to say about it. Another game where white people go and blow up another country. I'm not super into it.
Yeah, I was really pretty uncomfortable with the fact that it was white people, shooting persons of color.
Yeah, absolutely. We got a look at South Park, the Fractured Butthole. And I have to be honest, you know, it was really working for me. I'm not the world's biggest South Park fan, but, this specific preview, they showed character generation and customization a little bit, which is based around sort of like the idea of using like comic book tropes a little bit and like picking like your speedster or your strong man or whatever. I was kind of feeling it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's definitely... if you're off put by the humor and, you know, the satire that South Park does, you know, I know I saw a lot of mixed reaction out there. You know, a lot of people were definitely here for it. A lot of people were, you know, very uncomfortable by, you know, just it being, you know, South Park being South Park. So,
Some really insightful barbs about, comic book movie culture, though, that I really appreciated.
Yeah, I mean, of course, being a South Park project in 2016, very meta, very fourth wall breaking, and I'm a fan. I'm gonna check it out, and it comes like as you mentioned a little bit earlier, alluded to that it will come with a if you pre-order it, it will come with the Stick of Truth remastered,
which is awesome. You know, remastered for PlayStation 4 and Xbox One, and actually a lot of people have noted that if you buy a physical copy, it will also come with the download code. You just won't get it like same day.
Right.
If you do a digital pre-order on either of the big shop fronts, like right now, you will get the Stick of Truth like right now.
And that's my thing, kind of like playing it before, you know, so you can get into the story and the gameplay, and you know, even though the gameplay is going to be a little different, same thing with Dishonored, to tie it back to yesterday.
Yeah, absolutely. So definitely really exciting. We also got the announcement of the next two The Division expansions. These are Underground and Survival. You know, they kind of do what they say on the tin. One involves going underground,
and the other
one involves surviving.
And then they were like, oh, there's some other Tom Clancy DLC outfits, and that made Tom Clancy fans really happy.
Yeah, I gotta be honest, not such a big deal for me. I'm really kind of over the
Tom
Division
Clancy.
And even trying to make it work. But definitely for those of you out there who are super into it, really exciting stuff.
Yeah, I'm just not... Personally, these Tom Clancy games just typically don't tend to be for me.
You know, and that's actually true for me as well. Something I know about Tom Clancy, but I didn't really face until I tried to play The Division, is that he is like super right wing, like very... those games and stories are themed around concepts that are just completely antithetical to my life and how I live it.
Well, and Tom Clancy, the actual person, is dead, right? It's just his...
That is correct.
His franchise continues on, his estate.
Well, and I primarily, I guess, meant the stories he did when he was alive.
Right,
they established sort of this feeling is like super, super right-wing, like, to me, a way all over-the-top conservative, like, just not my speed at all.
Yeah, but what was my speed, and probably yours too, was Eagle Flight.
Yeah, you know, this is a really cool VR game. It's almost like a sports competition
game. Got some cuties out to demo it.
They did bring some cuties out to demo it. You take the role of an eagle. You have to swoop down and, like, catch some dinner that's, like, a live animal and take it up to your nest. And while you're doing that, other eagles are out to shoot you down so that they can steal the food from your mouth. It's one of those things that seems silly, but in VR, they were showing it. You're, like, eagles, so you're, like, flying through the air.
Yeah, in Paris.
Easily. In Paris, yes. And it just looked really cool. It was really fast-moving, really great sense of speed and movement. I was really feeling it.
What really sold me is that it looked like they were having so much fun playing it.
Yeah, they did. They looked like they were having a ton of fun playing it. It just definitely, to me, looked like I want to go to there, basically.
Yeah.
We also got a gameplay look at Star Trek Bridge Crew.
Oh, wow.
This is another VR game. It's basically like Space Team or, you know, those kinds of games where everybody is sort of in the same room or on voice talk, and they're all telling each other what needs to be done. They don't all have access to all the same information.
Tweak the fizzilator.
but since it's in VR, you know, you're looking around at your bridge crew, and, you know, you're a, you know, crew member on the USS Enterprise or what
and
have you.
Straight up brought out LeVar Burton.
Which was fantastic. He was
or
clearly...
As people deemed him, LeVar Burton.
LOL. He was clearly very passionate about this project, and that actually made it easier for me to get hype.
Yeah, I'm not... When I say I'm not a Star Trek fan, it's not like I'm like, ooh, Star Trek sucks. I've never really been able to get into the larger meta series of it, just because there's so much of it, I feel like kind of overwhelmed almost. But I mean, this
I can
just
understand
looks like
that.
This just looks like it'd be a lot of fun, and not like a VR, like, ooh, I'm gonna get dizzy and, like, you know, that sort of thing.
Indeed. Let's see. We also got a new gameplay reveal for For Honor. You may recall this game was sort of announced last year. It's grown up a little bit. You know, it still has a theme of almost being like a Western Musou-style game, but it seemed like it was a little more focused now on story and character. It still didn't do necessarily a whole lot for me, but it looked really nice. I'm sure it will have an audience.
Yeah, I mean, I guess props to UbiUbi for, you know, trying a new IP, you know?
Indeed. We also got the announcement of Trials of the Blood Dragon.
Oh my gosh.
And this is a Trials game. It's actually available today, which is kind of a thing they do with the trial games, I've noticed. Trials games they have noticed. This one is Trials in a Blood Dragon skin. Blood Dragon, of course, was the 80s aesthetic used for the Far Cry Blood Dragon game. Either way, I'm going to download Trials of the Blood Dragon as soon as this episode is done.
Yeah,
it
I
looks
love...
really ridiculous and in all the best ways.
I love that very cheap 80s aesthetic so much. So, and Trials seems like almost an even better fit for it than Far Cry. So,
well, long term, I hope we see all Ubisoft games get Blood Dragon.
Assassin's Creed Blood Dragon.
I'm looking for Just Dance Blood Dragon.
Ah.
It's all like songs by like Guns N' Roses and Winger, like dancing packets of cigarettes, just super 80s. Right. We also got Grow Up, which is...
excuse me, that's rude.
What?
No, the Grow Up. I was like, Grow Up.
Ah!
But it's the... Now I'm blanking. What's the
sequel to Grow Home?
Grow Home, yeah.
Grow Home was a really cute game. I enjoyed it a lot. And Grow Up looks to continue the same. I'm really stoked for it.
Yeah.
We also got, of course, the Watch Dogs 2 official reveal. Now, this is sort of a little strange because basically everything they showed and said about Watch Dogs 2 had leaked in the weeks prior to E3. But still, you know, it takes place in San Francisco. Graphics
are
super
pretty.
Well,
the Bay Area, there's like Oakland locations, some Silicon Valley locations.
Okay, but they are primarily talking about it as taking place in San Francisco, so calm down. Either way, I will play it. I actually think it looks really good. It looks like a huge step up from the first one. It's just hard for me to be super excited about since it wasn't really new. We already have been so spoiled.
But I just have to say I really appreciate that the protagonist is a person of color. I'm a little biased because it's local, you know, so I'm like, oh, it's the bridge, you know. So, like, and, you know, I just... I've seen a lot of lukewarm reception to this, or even negative. They're like, oh, teenage hackers, LOL. But I mean, I don't know. Like, I think it looks
looks fun.
I do too. And then we ended Ubisoft's conference with Steep, which this was a reveal.
Oh, you're not
going to
talk about
time.
The Assassin's Creed movie?
I was not intending to talk about the Assassin's Creed movie.
This isn't movie booby.
So Steep looks like a really cool game, surprisingly. It's an open world extreme snow sports game, which sounds ridiculous, but basically, you know, it's online. Your friends can be doing extreme snow sports on one of the mountains in the game. You pop in and you're doing your extreme sports and you can like see them off in the distance or whatever. You're competing, you know, to get best scores. It's constantly recording all of like your best runs.
I'm just gonna drop into the Swiss Alps and snowboard down a very dangerous mountain when my friends are skiing by.
Right? And it sounds ridiculous, but it actually looks really cool.
Yeah, the more that they showed of it, the more I was like, okay, this is actually something kind of different. I thought it was just going to be like, whoa, SSX, snowboard. But no, it's more about like, you know, just kind of like, almost like I would say giving you an experience that you would probably not be able to do. Like, oh, I'm just going to go drop into the Swiss Alps and snowboard down it because you'd probably die.
All right. Well, it's time to rate these things. And I'm sorry to cut you off, but, you know, time is always important.
Oh, and we've got one more to talk about,
indeed,
too.
So what would you grade Ubisoft, and what is your comments?
I think I would give Ubisoft an UB, which I'm really surprised about, because, you know, on our pre-3 episode, I was just like, oh, does Ubisoft even need to keep existing anymore? I was obviously in a very negative place, Ubisoft-wise, at that point. But, you know, honestly, the only things that I wasn't really here for, I mean, For Honor is kind of, you know, not really my sort of thing. But aside from the Tom Clancy stuff, I was like, you know, Just Dance is always fun. I really enjoyed South Park. The Star Trek game, Eagle Flight, Trials of the Blood Dragon, Watch Dogs. Like, I thought that there was like a lot of stuff. I'm like, okay, I actually want to play these. And so props to Ubi for, you know, and I thought that, you know, they really, you know, because Ubi has had some embarrassingly bad conferences. And so I thought they really did well. And, that it wasn't just riding on Aisha Tyler, who, like, you know, was super, super funny as always.
Super
like, dropping F-bombs. And so, you know, it was a very festive, very festive event.
Excellent. I would mirror your B. I thought it was a solid showing, all things considered. Maybe not necessarily every game was for me, but, you know, they actually had a really good spread of stuff for me and stuff not. I do have the quibble that it was a 2-hour long event that I think could have been an hour long or an hour and a half.
We could have cut out that that gameplay demo of the
Wildlands Ghost
Wildlands,
Recon.
Yeah,
that was way too long.
Oh, overall, and we just talk about how like they had quote unquote like team speak going on, but it was clearly just reading from a script. All right, I've almost got him.
So yeah,
come on, man. Oh no, there he is.
All right, as funny as this bit normally would be, Slaggy, we are dangerously short on time.
All right, well,
so
let's get into Sony.
Begin the end and talk about Sony.
Might as well just get a live orchestra up in here to kick it off.
Yeah, and then completely squander it. So Sony opened up with the new God of War. God of War has no subtitle or anything, just God of War. As previously leaked, you know, Kratos is now a bearded daddy in more ways than one. He's actually the biological father of another character, as far as we know. Definitely seems to be more of a take on like Norse mythology, which is interesting. Definitely did not play like a traditional God of War game. It actually played closer to, well, you know, you're getting Last of Us. I got that a little bit because there was a kid, but it actually seemed more to me like The Witcher in terms of the scale of the game world and the scale of the enemy that we saw. I was getting Witcher vibes off it. Definitely did not get traditional God of War vibes.
Yeah,
I was really excited for it, though.
Yeah, because, you know, some of the God of War games have been problematic in a lot of ways for, you know, all the things that they did to, you know, that maybe have been positive or whatever. There has been a lot of problematic stuff, so.
Well, and I just have to say, the thing is, like, you can say God of War is problematic all you want, but, like, the mythology it's based on is problematic. And I would rather it be represented the way it was written and adapted that way than to just ignore it for the sake sake of not being problematic.
True. But yeah, this it'll be very interesting. It's like, is the sun the new God of War? Because he's like reluctant to shoot the deer. We don't know.
Indeed. Yeah, yeah. Daddy Kratos, who is still thirsting like, for
rocking
blood.
Full beard.
Has a son who, a young son, who is hesitant to hunt and kill animals for survival. So that's definitely something.
Yeah, kind of being a dick, but a little bit less of a dick than we're used to, you know.
Much less of a dick
than
usual.
So it seems like possibly a reboot with the title, and yeah, we don't know.
Also got a trailer of the upcoming Sony Bend production, Days Gone, which is a post-apocalyptic setting, sort of survival situation, starring a like biker gang, which is, to me, a really interesting take on that scenario. As far as we know, the enemies are not traditional zombies. They are mutant humans that appear to have been mutated by a virus or some nonsense.
But it was definitely, I was getting a lot of zomb from it.
Oh, yeah. It's definitely, like, in tone and style, almost imperceptibly different from a zombie situation. So, either way, it looked interesting. I'm eager to hear more about it.
Yeah.
We also got a
release date.
A release date for The Last Guardian. We will all be playing The Last Guardian on October 26th.
Wow.
We then got a really cool gameplay demonstration of Horizon. It looked really good. I don't necessarily have a whole lot to say about it other than it looked really cool. And it wasn't previously for me a game I was really planning on picking up, but now I do.
Yeah, I mean, just all the sorts of things that I look for in a game.
We also got a really cool trailer for Detroit. The scope of the game is finally been revealed a little bit more. You play as an android who apparently handles like android crime, and you try to bring other androids to justice. It's like a less gritty Blade Runner, I guess.
Ooh!
But either way, I was super feeling it. Quantic Dream, of course. So it is like story adventure based, not really an action game, but I like that, and I like that it's clearly going to have a heavy focus on the actual investigative portion of the story.
Right, and you know all those branching options and such, and really lots of possibilities there.
We then got a huge shocker with the surprise announcement of Resident Evil 7. Resident Evil 7 appears to have more in common with something like PT than the rest of the Resident Evil series. But this is awesome. What they showed, I saw a bunch of people on Twitter, even as they were showing it, just like, what is this? Is this PT?
And some people were like, is this Resident Evil? And it was.
Indeed. And that's actually going to be hitting in North America January 26th.
Yeah.
So that's wild. Like, that's not that far away. And in fact, a demo of the game is going up on PlayStation 4 for PlayStation Plus subscribers today.
Yeah, I mean, very tonally, it seems like they're very aware of, you know, how unhappy people were with the past couple ones.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I get a feeling that Halloween 2017, I'm going to have to play some of that on stream. I feel like you're going to make me do that on VR.
That is probably going to happen. I will strap my PlayStation VR helmet to your head because we'll have it by then, because that got an announced date, which actually this is the exact perfect time to talk about. PlayStation VR will be releasing October 13th.
Oh, so you might make me do some terrifying VR this Halloween.
Yeah, if the Resident Evil 7 demo supports the VR mode, you're gonna do that on stream this year.
Just the thing is that with PT, the only time I actually got scared was when Hulker like scared me from behind. So don't let him do that if I'm in VR. Please.
Fair. We also got the announcement of Farpoint for VR. This is a space adventure set on a hostile alien planet. It definitely looked good, looked very cool. Atmospheric, which obviously you want in a VR game. Definitely looking forward to it. We also got the re-announcement of Battlefront VR. This is going to be the X-Wing VR mission that is singular. It sounds like it's a limited scope event, but it still looks really cool. Like the trailer was displaying like from the inside of a cockpit of an X-Wing. And it definitely looked like something that I would really like to play, so I'm super into that, because obviously, hello, Star Wars and X-Wings and shit.
Right.
we also got the announcement of Batman Arkham VR.
Yeah,
but
more like a little tease.
It was a tease, yeah. We got no gameplay footage, no. It was just like a really cool like back and forth between the Joker and Bats and dialogue while going over sort of like artistic angles looking at the Bat suit. It was a little silly, but I'm excited for it because I mostly like the Batman Arkham games.
Yeah.
Arkham, the last one, Arkham Knight, didn't quite do it for me, but the other two did. And then last of the VR reel. Oh,
well, not quite.
Well, okay. So we also got an announcement of Final Fantasy 15 VR experience. We don't quite know exactly what it's going to entail yet, but we got some footage of the various Final Fantasy 15 boys doing their various attacks in first person.
And you're actually Prompto.
See, there was one where one of the other characters was throwing a sword from first person. So
really?
Is it only Prompto, or are there
multiple?
Play as
Prompto.
Interesting. Well, or maybe just the way that shot was framed got me mixed up then.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll have to find out if it's just like a, you know, like a 2 hour, you know, kind of like DLC exclusive thingy. We'll have to find out.
We then got an absolutely bonkers trailer for Call of Duty Infinite Warfare, which has me completely sold on giving that game a try. You know, they were doing like the really weird space stuff, flying in space, landing on like another craft, exiting in zero G using a grappling hook to sort of navigate the zero G situation. I was super feeling it. It's like, what did you think?
Yeah, I mean, it just did not. I mean, I was like, is this Call of Duty? Because there were definitely some elements that you're like, oh, that's kind of Call of Duty-ish. But, you know, it did not feel like, you know, oh, war and military and
Yeah, yeah. Let's see. We also got Crash Remastered announced. This is the first three Crash games being remastered for the modern age. That's super exciting. I know there are a ton of people who are looking for that. We also got the announcement of Crash Bandicoot appearing in Skylanders. We already knew that this would be happening based on leaks, but it was still cool to see officially. Crash still looks like Crash, and hopefully people are super into that.
Yeah.
We also got a really cute trailer for LEGO Star Wars Episode 7. Along with the announcement, the demo is on PlayStation Network now, and the game will be in stores in 2 weeks.
And yours is probably downloaded by now, huh?
It probably is, yeah. I might be able to play that tonight.
So, I almost... I guess we should just go in the order that they revealed it, but I felt like this next one should have been their big ball drop.
Oh, absolutely. Why don't you tell us a little bit about that?
So, they had a lot of, kind of fanfare. Not like necessarily, but, a big light-up ramp coming down from the stage, and Hideo Kojima comes walking down the stage. And he's
to
like,
song from Mad Max Fury Road, by the way.
Yes, and he's like, I'm here.
Yeah, he was literally like, I'm back. It's like, oh,
I was thinking like Shangela popping out of the box on RuPaul's Drag Race.
Hallelujah, I'm back, bitches.
And so he showed a real time trailer, like an engine trailer of his new project, Death Stranding. Very eerie.
Atmospheric.
I mean, it's very Kojima. There were, like, a bunch of dead crabs on the beach. Norman Reedus and his bear butt. And a scar. And then a baby. Which almost was similar to the baby from PT that you found in the sink. So some people are, like, curious, like, oh, maybe there's still some ties to PT.
And I don't believe that at all. I think that's absolute nonsense.
I was watching the IGN, after show, and they're like, did you see the five figures in the sky? Those are for the five Metal Gear games.
Oh, man.
So everyone's already trying to decipher the Kojima metaphors, but...
Well, hey, maybe it does tie to PT. When you bring up the fact that it's Kojima, I guess literally anything is possible.
And this was the baby that he rescued, the PT baby that he rescued, and the five things in the sky, and I don't know. I mean, it's Kojima, so, I'm sure that it's probably a while off before we're going to really find out more about it, but, I mean, just, it's good to see him, making what he wants to make, clearly.
Yeah. And then we got our last game announcement of the night. This is another one that had leaked previously, but it's still really exciting to see, and that is the new Spider-Man game coming out of Insomniac. And, this is, at least for me, this is super exciting. I'm a big fan of Insomniac games. I really, really, really like what they do. Stuff like Work on Resistance, obviously Ratchet and Clank, Sunset Overdrive.
Well, I mean, I think Sunset Overdrive is
perfectly positioned for a Spider-Man game.
Like all the crazy stuff you do in Sunset Overdrive and then throwing Spidey, into that sort of situation.
Yeah, they're just in the exactly positioned for a great Spider-Man.
I think that's a great fit for Spider-Man, especially with the new Spider-Man movie, you know, promising to be, you know, a lot more quirky and fun.
Yeah. We then ended on what I've actually found to be a really anticlimactic note, which is that we got live gameplay of Days Gone, which was announced tonight. I don't mean to poop on Days Gone. It looks good enough. It looks like a fun game. It looks like the kind of game I would play, but it did not look like headline quality.
Like the thing is that they started doing that like at the very top of the hour, and then I thought, oh, this is just to kick off, and there's going to be another hour of big reveals.
And nope. Instead, it was
there was a sizzle reel with like a 1 second shot of what's his face from the Velvet Room from Persona.
Yeah,
Igor.
Yes. And you know, there was the sizzle reel. It had a ton of stuff we didn't see. It had some Gravity Rush 2 was featured.
Yeah.
There were glimpses of like Final Fantasy and Kingdom Hearts. So it was just like, you know, all of this stuff that didn't even appear in the conference that we would have liked to have heard more about. So it's time to render our verdict, though. And I'm going to go first because I want to make two observations.
Right.
I'm going to give them an A, and I'm going to give them best show of the conference with a bullet. Their best conference by default, because I don't think anyone else quite excelled the way that they did. But I still was ultimately disappointed by their showing. There was the weird pacing issue. Everything felt like it was like rush. It's like, why are you rushing if you're in this weird 80 minute time slot? It's not 90, it's not 2 hours, it's not 1 hour. Like, it was weird. The timing issue was weird. It felt like they had a chunk of their presentation cut out. And you know, a lot of people have been speculating, and I'm certainly among them, that you know, when they announced a week or two ago that the PlayStation Neo is real but they're not going to be showing it this year, a lot of us feel that maybe they were going to, and then when they heard the specs of Scorpio, they didn't want to be coming to the conference and announcing a new console that's less powerful than the other console being announced.
Yeah.
And that still, for me, that still feels right. You know, these game demos that were going live tonight didn't go live until 8 o'clock, and they always do like the whole like, it's live now, when this conference is over you can download it. So it's weird to me that they would set like the auto upload time or whatever to be 8 rather than 7 in this case.
Yeah, something...
Just something felt off.
Something did feel off.
But you know, they had a very, very heartfelt tribute to the Orlando tragedy, and very specifically stated support not just for those impacted, but specifically for the LGBT community.
Right, which was huge.
And that is massive. It is super massive. So huge credit to them. I was very happy with what we saw. It's just, it felt like, huh, when it ended. I don't get why there was no Final Fantasy VII Remake. I thought this was the perfect place for more of that. I would have loved to have seen, you know, Gravity Rush 2, obviously. It's weird that they were sitting on games they didn't talk about. What about you, Simon?
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to give it an A-. Like, a really good showing, and I liked that it was games. I didn't want to hear developers being like,
I like hearing devs talk about their games. That's important as fuck.
Yeah, but
me.
Sometimes it's a tough balance. So, but like, yeah, I mean, the LGBT support was, I mean, I was feeling very verklempt. And I mean, he was too. I mean, he was clearly very emotional, like almost choked up. So, I mean, I felt it was very sincere. Lots of great stuff, but again, I feel like there was something missing. So I feel like it was like a really good presentation, but like, oh, you ran out of time and you didn't write the conclusion to your high school essay, if we're going to compare it to that. So, but I would say definitely best of show. You know, the orchestra was, they had a freaking live orchestra, so it was crazy.
Yeah, I didn't feel like they did a whole lot with it, but they did do it.
Like, they were playing, like, you did realize they were playing, like, all the music, though. Like,
yeah,
the
but they didn't, it wasn't it particularly flourished. It was just kind of bog standard.
I mean, I thought it was classy, so.
Okay. I guess I just feel like you can get more interesting and experimental than they did get.
Yeah, well, with that oddness aside, well, good job, Sony.
Indeed.
And overall, pretty good showing today.
Yeah.
Good show. So, is it time for me to get over to those Twitter tweets?
It is. What are our social links looking like?
So I'm just going to go right up from where we picked up yesterday. So your enzyme, upon our upload of episode 111 said, I forgot how quick y'all were. Yep, that's how we do it on E3 week.
That is how we do E3.
That retro code was watching the Xbox Microsoft conference on the One. Said, watching it on the One, I just want Cuphead and a release date, which we didn't get. I was a little bummed. Cuphead looks so good. Your Enzyme said, so far so good. It's sad that I'm getting sick of hearing Xbox One and Windows 10 exclusive. It's not sad, but I was happy to hear it. Also saying, Gwent Dude was quite nice to look at. Yeah, love those CD Projekt Red guys. Sea of Thieves could be cool, still cautious. State of Decay 2 looks like what I wanted from the first one. The Halo Wars 2 trailer was awesome, not crazy for the game itself. And then finally, Project Scorpio. Who knows yet? More promises, but will it be enough? Keitaro E37 saying, wait, the Xbox conference wasn't the PC / Windows 10? Right? Basically was. I mean, it was the Microsoft conference. They're really unifying that. Your Enzyme popping back in, forgot all about We Happy Few. That game, I can't wait for it. Then a little later, more recent in the night, saying Microsoft and Sony both had great shows. Horizon still looks awesome. Days Gone is going to be super stressful. Crash 1 through 3 remakes. Shit, even COD looked rad. PSVR Resident Evil 7. Spider-Man from Insomniac? What? Channeling the excited Bethesda girl. Kojima's mindfuck of a game? That's some trippy shit, I'll tell you what. God of War interested in me a ton more than I could ever have imagined. Other than Skylanders, I don't think Sony had a bad game out there. Super impressed today. Awesome. Thank you for those feedback. For that feedback, everybody. And we love your feedback. We love your iTunes, Stitcher Radio, and Google Play subscriptions, ratings, and reviews. We like your Facebook likes, and we effing love Twitter.
We do. We effing love Twitter.
And, yeah, so you can mail us at mailbuoy@gamebuoy.org.
Gamebuoy.org.
And thank you for listening to us on the Voice of Geeks Network as well, where we air every Tuesday.
And that's the perfect segue. You know what other shows are on the VogNetwork.com? I'm glad you asked. Girls Gone WoW, where you can get a female perspective on the world's most popular MMO. Orange Lounge Radio, where every gamer has a voice and from whom I steal ever so many of my cues. Ranger Pridecast, which features myself and Shane Alenko talking about the current season of the Power Rangers meta series, as well as the current series of Super Sentai upon which it's
wild.
Based. Also, the Starboard Power Coupling podcast, a Star Trek podcast you hope doesn't fail. In non-VOG shows, we've got Nintendo Love Fest, which does exactly what it says on the tin, as well as their sister show, X Nation, an awesome podcast focusing on Marvel's Mighty Mutants. There's also, of course, the currently on hiatus Tables, Ladders, and Podcast, a professional wrestling podcast for the common man, and last but definitely not least, Slagkick's currently on hiatus show, Reading is Fundamental, where he, myself, Rob Roberts from Orange Lounge Radio, and Delvin from VG Realness talk about the current season of RuPaul's Drag Race. Slaggy, take us to a place.
I'm going to take you to a...
Take it to the
Game
bridge.
Bar!
Oh,
Game Bar is the gay video game Prairie Home Companion and a part of the Hunty Bunch, along with Video Game Realness, serving up a weekly dose of gaming chit-chat among friends.
The
La Palanca Podcast. Podcast por y para gay gamers latinoamericanos en español. The Nintendo Fun Club, your place for platformers, positivity, and pop-punk. Joystick Jockeys, two LGBTQ gamers who love games and love talking about them. And the DSZ Podcast, where super fans of Game Buoy, Crystal and Dan, level up their game development skills and discuss the daily grind along the way on a non-daily schedule. And last but certainly not least is a little show called Anime Buoy. That's our sister show, our sister ship in the fleet of the SS Buoys. It's your port of call for anime recommendations, news bits, and discussions that maybe aren't on your radar. Most definitely should be. Zelda Reorchestrated. Not a live orchestra. Sorry.
Pouring out a 40 of lawn milk. All right, guys, we really need to go. It has been a real pleasure talking to you. We'll be back at you this weekend with our E3 wrap-up. We'll talk about what Nintendo's doing, as well as a bunch of little odds and ends from all of the other companies. We can't wait to talk to you. Thank you so much for spending this lovely E3 evening with us. Until next time, keep gaming.
Keep gaming.
Keep thinking.
Keep thinking.
And see you, Space Cowboy. We'll be right back. Talking to your mic for me?
Talking to my mic for you? Joystick Jockeys, DJ and Ruben, are two LGBTQ gamer...